On the third episode of the Black Apple Reads, we read No Small Potatoes. It's my new favorite book about unsung hero Junius G. Groves and his world-famous potato farm in Kansas. This book is written by Tanya Bolden and Don Tate. It truly is a gem, and it's the definition of the Black Enterprise. For principals to help discuss the topics of this book, go to my Teacher Pay Teacher page, The Black Apple. No Small Potatoes. Junius G. Groves and His Kingdom in Kansas. By Tanya Bolden. Illustrated by Don Tate. One potato, two potato, 30, 11 million potatoes? Is that how many potatoes Junius George Groves grew? No, not 30, 11 million. Not exactly, but he, Junius G for short. He sure grew piles and piles of spuds. So many that he was crowned the Potato King, a legend known far and wide. Folks were doubly amazed when they heard about Junius G's bleak beginnings in the bluegrass state. No crown, no kingdom, not an inch of ground. When baby Junius G first laid eyes on the world, he had nothing to call his own. Legally, not even himself. He was born into slavery on a plantation near Greensburg, Kentucky. Thank goodness, Junius G. didn't stay in slavery for a long, long time. He was yet young when freedom came. That happened when America abolished slavery in late 1865. Junius G. didn't stay in the bluegrass state for a long, long time either. In 1879, when he was about 20, he left, taking part in an ever-growing exodus, a great going out, a great going away. I worked around for planters here and there and managed to pick up a little reading and figuring in a log schoolhouse at Columbia, Kentucky. Junius G. in 1905. From Kentucky, Tennessee, and other southern states, tens of thousands of people, most country folk, and a host of youngsters in tow, shook the dust from their feet. Exodusters, they were called, with hearts hugging hope, clutching dreams of bountiful lives. Exodusters went west to the plains. Land was plentiful there, they heard. For many, that place of promise was Kansas, the Sunflower State. Exodusters journeyed by steamboat, by train, and bumpity-bump ox carts in wide-wheeled wagons. Some of those keen on Kansas put down roots in new towns like Nicodemus. Others settled in or near Topeka and Kansas City. Both of these burgs were along the Kansas City River, known as the Kaw. As for Exodusters, Junius G., they say, he had walked to Kansas for more than 500 miles. Along the way, he works odd jobs. Junius G. ended his journey in the Great Kaw Valley in a part of Kansas City, Kansas, bound by an ox-bow bend in the Kaw. This place was soon called Armondale. There, Junius G. landed a job on a potato farm. For a lowly 40 cents a day, Junius G. could so easily have pitied himself over piddling pay, but he didn't. Instead, he made up his mind to just work hard. A few moons later, Junius G. got a raise in pay to 75 cents a day. And he kept working hard, so hard that the man for whom he worked, J.T. Williamson, made him foreman of his farm. With that came another raise, 50 more cents a day. It was several weeks before I could get work on a farm, and when I finally did secure a place, it was at almost starvation wages, 40 cents per day. This was better than being forced to roam the streets and beg, so I gladly accepted the offer, determined to work my way up to better things. By keeping my eyes open, always attending to duty and doing more, rather than less, than what was required of me, I soon succeeded and having my wagers raised. Still, Junius G. wanted more, and not just more money. He dreamed of farming for himself. Lacking the bucks to buy some land, he did the next best thing. He rented land from J.T. Williamson, 9 acres, for use of his land, his tools, and his team. Junius G. agreed to pay J.T. with a share of the crops. Junius G. planted white potatoes on 1/3 of those 9 acres. In time, Junius G. was renting 20 acres and then 66 acres, growing more and more spuds. And he kept hoping for a farm of his own. Hoping alongside him was Matilda E. Stewart, a woman he married about a year after he reached Kansas. Just like Junius G., Matilda E. was no lazy bones. She didn't hiccup and holler at a hint of hard work. With Matilda E., his steady, sturdy helpmate, Junius G. kept working hard, day after day, dawn to dusk. Come true dark, the couple slept away a day's weary in a one-room shack. Week after week, Junius G. and Matilda E. put off purchasing trifles and trinkets. They only bought needful things. That way, they could save up every spare dollar, dime, nickel. Every spare penny, too. This money came from the crops they sold and from other work they did on the side, such as chopping firewood in the winter to sell to townfolk. All that hard work and saving up paid off. In late 1884, Junius G. had his eye on 80 acres. This land was east of Edwardsville, near the mouth of the Kaw, its banks lined with cottonwood trees. Junius G. and Matilda E. had saved up $2,200, but those 80 acres near Edwardsville cost $3,600. Where would the $1,400 difference come from? The wind? A cloud? Some magic tree? No siree! It would come from hard work. That's what Junius G. believed when he handed over those $2,200. With it was the promise to pay off the balance in a year. Right quick, Junius G. went to work turning those 80 acres into a real farm. There was a small house to build. More daunting than that was the back-straining, muscle-taxing task of clearing the land. For starters, digging up umpteen tree stumps. So many as to make for stepping stones up and down a field. And while Junius G. was doing all that, the top crop of his mind? Potatoes. But could he do it? Could he farm hard enough to pay off the money he still owed on those 80 acres in a year? If he didn't, he was liable to lose the land and those $2,200. Negative natterings of naysaying neighbors snaked their way to Junius G.'s ears. He did a dumb deal, these people humbled. He would never pay that debt off in a year, they tut-tutted. When they looked into Junius G.'s future, those naysaying neighbors saw nothing but failure. The negative nattering kicked up a ruckus in Junius G.'s head, made him sad, scared, down, discouraged. It wasn't like he had only himself to worry about. There was Matilda E. What's more, the couple had 3 young sons by then, Charles, Walter, and Fred. Stair-step kids. Maybe those neighbors were right, feared Junius G. Maybe he had dreamed too big, bitten off more than he could chew. What to do? He kept working hard. Planting, plowing, tilling, hilling, hoping for ripe rain, watching potato vines grow, then waiting for their blooms, keeping his courage up under searing sun in the face of hot, heavy winds. Plus, Junius G had to be ever ready to battle blister beetles, roly-polies, and other potato pests. Come harvest time, more hard work, working hard work. True to his word, Junius G paid off the money he owed in a year. Once those 80 acres were really his, can you guess what Junius G decided to do? It was pretty risky business paying out every dollar we had saved for 5 years hard work and close living and running ourselves $1,1400 in debt. But we wanted a home of our own. And I knew that I should succeed much better when I was tilling soil that I could call my own. Junius G. in 1900. Keep working hard. In time, Junius G. bought more land in the Great Kaw Valley. All told, more than 500 acres. And year after year, he kept working hard. So hard that in 1894, the Kansas Blackmen called him the Potato King of his county, which was Wyandotte. So hard that in 1900, the Indianapolis Recorder hailed him the Potato King of the whole Sunflower State. Then, in 1902, Junius G. was crowned Potato King of the world. He had grown 12,000 plus more bushels of potatoes than anybody else. How many potatoes had Junius George Groves grown that year? 72,150 bushels, or about 4 million pounds of spuds. Put it another way, roughly 12 million potatoes. Potato math. One bushel equals about 60 pounds. 1 pound equals about 3 potatoes. Junius G's spuds, baked, boiled, fried, mashed, puffed, souped, diced for potato salad, sliced thin for chips, filled bellies around America. Loads crossed the nation's borders, traveling by train up to Canada and down to Mexico. What was Junius G shipping such? What was Junius G shipping such a multitude of spuds? A railroad company had built a special spur to his potato house. Even after all the fame, farmer Junius G kept working hard, kept loving his rich, dark earth, likening the furrows his plows churned up to chocolate waves. While all those spuds grew year after year, so too did Junius G's family. A dozen little Grovers were born and raised to full grown on their parents' farm as Charles, Walter, Fred, Ora, Ida, May, Lillian, Junius G. Jr., Sylvester, Etna, John, Cornelius, and Theodore grew. They too learned the land, the hundreds of acres planted in potatoes, the parcels sown with other crops like cabbage and carrots and corn too. There were fruit trees too. Over the years, the Potato King grew more than a big family, more cabbage and carrots and corn, more fruit trees, more than potatoes. Junius G. grew jobs, hiring farmhands. Junius G. grew a park, Groves Park, and a cozy community, Grove Center, and a church, Pleasant Hill Baptist, a store that sold groceries and other goods, a golf course too. So here we are. Every one of my boys a farmer. Every one of my girls married to a farmer. Every man and boy of them in overalls and working hard. I want these boys and girls of mine to stay on the land. I want my children and my grandchildren always to be able to stand up and say, we are a part and parcel of that army of farmers which feeds America. Junius G. in 1919. Junius G. also built bigger and bigger homes for his family. The last one was a 22-room red brick mansion. It had white stone trim, a red tiled roof, and strong oak doors. A marvelous room. Behind those doors was a ballroom as a play palace when Junius G's children were young. The library was perhaps Junius G's favorite room, so full of books and booklets on every facet of farming, books and booklets he called his college. Along with all the acres he tilled, along with all the food he grew, and dawn to dusk on any given day, winter, spring, summer, fall, Junius G., the Potato King, could behold his Kaw Valley Kingdom from the veranda of that red brick mansion, and with white stone trim, red tiled roof, and strong oak doors, his castle. Comprehension questions. Before reading this book, what did you know about slavery? Who taught you or told you these facts? What were your feelings about slavery? Now, after reading this book, what are your feelings now? How have they changed? Why or why not? What made Junius G. Groves work so hard? Why do you think he had to work so hard? What was Junius G. Groves' dream? Do you think he accomplished it? How did Junius G. Groves get to become the Potato King of the world? How did his family help him accomplish his dream? What are your dreams, and what do you need to do to accomplish them? If slavery was openly practiced today, how would you feel? How can you share the lessons you've learned about Junius G. Groves to others?